You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The best. The number one. Greatest innovation the game has brought in. 40-20.
Yes, you're on Hilarious at Job. Hello! Why bother doing anything professional? Just sit down. Just hit the bloody thing and sit down, says Paul. That's right. That's how you fix things, isn't it? Well, if you're the Chelsea women's manager, that's how you... Look at that! Straight in there. Where the flag? Welcome to 4020 Live.
For the third time.
I thought the old days when you used to have fourth replays in the cup. When did they get rid of all those replays? Those were great fun, weren't they? It was the anniversary the other day of the 0-0 semi-final between Wakefield and Huddersfield in 68, which obviously, if it had gone 1-0 Huddersfield, complete change of history.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have had a book to sell for a start, so that would have been a bit disappointing.
True.
But one day, eventually, no one would be around who's seen that was there live. But the problem is, every other generation afterwards is just... But anyways. Good evening, Carson. Good evening, Tim. Welcome to the programme. I don't know why the internet won't work, but I've turned the laptop off and started it again. It's working. James Charles not here today. He's not here. He's busy. Forgot to put his clock forward. He might turn up.
I may have used that joke in one of the previous...
But it's all right. They didn't hear it. Is this a dead cat on the rugby wall? No, Carson, it's Bagpuss, because a Castleford fan called me Bagpuss the other week because I was laughing at them losing all the matches. Which is fine when you're not even top of the championship, but, you know. Did they have Bagpuss in Switzerland? Be easy to dub into German, wasn't it? Or French, or Italian. Welcome to the programme. After the busy Easter weekend, I even had a full Easter egg, and I was like, discombobulated. I don't know what's going on, but we're here. That is the main thing. Welcome to the programme. Phil, did you enjoy the Easter weekend?
Yes. I thought there was some really good rugby played. Thought there were a lot of talking points. But Wigan and Saints put the bar slightly higher as to what can be achieved. I think all in all, probably didn't tell us a lot that we didn't already know. The teams at the bottom, the teams at the bottom, teams at the top, the teams at the top, the ones in the middle capable of beating each other. Enjoyed a bit of NRL, listened to some commentary of the championship, enjoyed that as well. The only thing I think we were talking about it just before is it did seem strange that Easter Monday there wasn't a rugby game, because that was a slight window of opportunity where there being no Premier League football, and we used to obviously have two games over the Easter weekend which spilt over onto the Monday. Never want to bring that back, but holding a game over if you could until the Monday might not have been a bad idea. The trouble, of course, then is when you start replaying then on the Thursday and the Friday that there isn't enough recovery time.
But we didn't know that Lee and Wigan were playing on Thursday, and whoever's playing. There's loads of games on Friday, isn't there, this week? So there's only a couple of games on Saturday. So what championship team could have put a game in? You know, yeah, great opportunity.
Yeah, some great games in
the League
Championship.
One, or the women's. Oh, there was no women's this week. So a wheelchair friendly. Could have had the wheelchair European Championship this week. BRL, something, I don't know. But there was nothing, so...
But it was good. Thursday to Sunday, a feast. A veritable feast.
Something for everyone. Something for everyone over the weekend, including games we just thought, Salford, Lee. I mean, it looks close on the scoreboard, 32-22, but you think, no, I've got to watch Gladiators instead.
I watched Salford Lee. Yeah. Well done, Mark.
No, I did watch it. Then watched
well done, Mark Snead, for his 55th consecutive Man of the Match award.
Is he going to break the world record set by
Stephen
Ratcliffe?
Clearly not now, because it's out in the public domain. Sadly, for him,
we need to make some more records that people can break, because obviously there are records that can't be broken in rugby league, so we need some that can be broken. I don't know what those would be. If you've got any suggestions, most number of times starting a podcast, Ian Smith says a smorgasbord of rugby league.
Indeed,
very much so.
That's presumably
a veritable smorgasbord. Ian, is everyone on the other chat still talking to each other? Because I'd like to think that while this programme's going on the other link, which didn't work, people are chatting to each other on it.
They don't need us to chat to each other.
Just having their own programme, just talking about whatever's happened. I mean, even now in a more, I don't know what's going on, kind of space than usual, because I don't know what. We started this program about three times. I don't know what's going on. Do we start chronologically with Thursday? Because you were there at the Mendenhose Jungle in the rain.
Old it rained. Or, I can confirm.
Castleford versus Leeds. Leeds winning after a 0-0 half time. What a first half that was. Oh, drama.
Bizarre first half because Castleford were absolutely dominant. I can't remember a game where a team has had five goal line dropouts in a half and not managed to score a point, which is partly down to a lack of cutting edge of Castleford's attack, which is exactly what Craig Lingard called it. But also, I think, you know, a different mindset this year for Leeds in defending their own line. And that's the, I think, the third game this year that Leeds have played opposition where they lamentably failed last year and have turned that around. So one of those would have been at Castleford, one at Lee, one at home to Salford. In all of those, they didn't perform at all well last year. This year, they have. The second half, relatively fortunate try off a kick, but once they'd scored, there was only going to be one winner. And, I think the strange... It's a strange atmosphere at Cass at the moment, which is understandable, but clearly that is a big game for their fans. It's, you know, and at half time they had a lot to be cheering for, but the way the atmosphere ebbed away a little bit, partly in the rain, partly because Leeds actually started scoring some points, what was like a bit of a balloon being pricked.
And now Lachlan Miller's the greatest fullback there's ever been in the history of the last week or so. And
yeah, I think it, again we judge people and team lineups so early and expect them to click. You know, Lachlan Miller hasn't played a lot of NRL. You know, he was a rugby union sevens player. He clearly has speed and an elusive quality, which in the weather we've had today, you were never going to see the best of. But this week, now he's getting his feet and he's getting used to the players around him. Defended brilliantly in the first half, attacked really well in the second half. When the pitches get drier, he will be a threat. But yeah, a decent win for Leeds in it on a ground where they have struggled.
Danny Richardson's coming off a very long time out through injuries, isn't he? And Jacob Miller is what he is as a halfback, and they haven't got their partnership right yet.
He is an enigma. He is a strange sort of player that in all the time I've ever seen him, whether it be for Wests or Hull or Wakefield, it's very rare he absolutely takes a game by the scruff of the neck. He's really good at linking forwards and backs, but it's not something he does sort of on his own. So when they're looking to post points because they're dominant, you go like, where's Jacob Miller? And he's not there.
Who are Cass going to bring in, like Dave Fafita? Are they going to bring Grant Millington back or something? I don't know. Well, when they brought Dean Sampson out of retirement, that'll be about 20 years ago now, won't it?
Dennis Solomon is on his way.
Dennis Solomon, Brad Davis getting back.
It's
very early still. And now you said Easter. Now we can look at the table.
And I do think that what Craig Lingard is trying to sell us is probably right, that this is almost a holding year on the field, and it's what they do off the field that's going to determine probably whether they're even in Super League next year. The trouble is you can't sell that to a season ticket holder. And yes, there clearly was effort. There was no lack of defensive desire, but they just didn't have a spark, and I don't know where they get that from.
Just remind us on the chat, and obviously on the podcast, you can tweet us or comment on the YouTube video or whatever. Has there been any news this week that we need to talk about? Because we've been trying to think about anything that's happened this week. And
it was all on the field.
Which is where you want it to be. So Leeds are back now. They're not in crime. But they've won four of their six games. Everyone's Rowan Smith's out. And
yeah, because they lost two games to St Helens, who this week proved they were quite a good team.
Quite good. Well, we'll come on to them in a minute. There's nothing else to say about Castleford versus Leeds other than at least the Castleford fans, as they've been saying, they're getting the effort. It's just
what I would say is a lot of clubs have made a lot of effort to change their pre-match and the experience around being at a game, you still get the feeling, with the greatest respect, going to Weldon Road, that it could have been 20 years ago. I'm not sure about the benefit of dancing girls. They're really good, but needs to be a bit more than that.
Can't say anything about places in the Wakefield district going back in time. Did Leeds get Smith's band overturned? I assume that's going on now,
Yeah, it'll be heard this evening.
The disciplinary. We'll come to that in a moment.
If it comes up, we'll let you know.
You'll hear it here last. Hull Kingston Rovers 34, Hull FC 10. 28-0 at half time. Dearie me, that first half went exactly as everyone would have thought the game was going to go. And then Hull FC, somehow in the second half, I don't know what Tony Smith said, or the players just thought, we've got to actually do something. Turn it around slightly, but again, not quite as bad as the first game, perhaps, but whereas Castleford, you think the effort's there. You don't want to say professional players aren't trying, that's wrong, but well, I see, just everyone's written articles about them over the last 2 weeks. Everyone's done podcasts about them. There's nothing you can add, I don't think, about their situation other than, well, at least the second half was better than the first.
I think had Hull Carr had a goal kicker, that half-time gap would have been almost embarrassing. I do think they found something to build on in the second half, Hull. But the only thing I'm not sure is, obviously, I like Tony Smith. I make no apologies for that. I enjoyed his company when he was coach at Leeds. I think he says a lot of things that make you rethink rugby league. He is at that cutting edge of coaching, which is more holistic than just the drills that you do on the pitch. I think he's a really interesting guy. But he's talking a lot at the moment about building resilience and confidence. And I genuinely don't know how you... I don't know how you go into training and go, right, we're going to do a session on resilience. That only comes from, I guess, the small victories of winning the second half. Because that's something that you can go in on training and go, we've got something here, lads. You know, we lost it. We don't really know what it is that we lost, but we found a bit of it. So can we build on that? And they've got an interesting game this week because they're going back to the scene of one of their recent crimes where they were horrible at Huddersfield.
Tune in, 3 o'clock, Saturday afternoon.
But it'll be interesting to see if it's a different Hull. And I think, yes, they did. Clearly, they're now going to miss Danny Houghton and injuries and squad selection is always going to be an issue for them because I don't think they've got the depth and as you keep saying, you know, every time they come up with the youngsters, they don't want to overexpose them and there's a huge pressure on anyone that comes through at Hull to be the next big thing. But there was something that could be like, if I was Willie Peters, whilst I would have been absolutely delighted with the application in the first half, I would be disappointed that's not the first time this season that they haven't gone on and absolutely dominated in the second half. So I think that Hull KR still have some work to do, but then again, you know, they'd had a couple of defeats in Super League, so they were turning that around again. It's a great place, isn't it? Hull KR on Derby Day at full and the crowd singing and making it came over as a great atmosphere on the television. I really enjoyed watching it, but it didn't have that physical edge that normally if you're a neutral and you can sit in your armchair and on a good Friday watch Hull and Hull KR followed by Wigan and Saints, you go, it's going to be a bash-a-thon and all I need to do is raise my cup of tea and watch it and that there was a little bit of intensity lacking in that Hull derby, mainly because it was so one-sided early on.
What is going on with goal kicking? I don't understand why teams don't have a goal kicker at this point of the season.
I also don't understand why, if their primary goal kicker is a player that they know who is going to be coming off because they're not playing the full 80 minutes, they don't have a backup goal kicker.
It's practice.
They will do. It's just it's a huge facet of the game. And whilst in matches like that, it's not going to make any difference. There is going to come a game where the difference between winning a semi-final and losing it is possibly a kick it goal.
News. Here's people that, not news that's just happening, but things that people have mentioned. Ian says, and I think we didn't think about this because it's not official. France versus England.
Yep.
As the warm-up to Toulouse versus Featherstone.
Yep. There's an international board meeting in Singapore next week. I think it's next week. It might be 2 weeks, middle of April. And ratification after that game should come, the Samoa series, and I would imagine once the RFL know what their budgets are, and it's very hard to plan a calendar when you've got no money. So you've got to know what your income generators are before you can then commit to stuff. But the French have already said, as part of their 90th anniversary celebrations, the English men and women will be going out to play mid-season. There is a gap in the calendar, so something has to happen. But no, it hasn't been formally announced yet. And yes, Toulouse Featherstone is just bizarre. I guess the issue is Toulouse, isn't it? If they get three or four players picked for France, then they've got a choice to make. I assume they could pull back from that game, but maybe they feel their squad depth is such that they won't.
Double up. Are they going to go on the same plane as England? Just save the costs. Split the cost with the RFL.
Don't mention about costs and Featherstone, will you?
Guess who's coming on the programme next week, everybody? All the Featherstone fans, tune in. Newshound John Davidson, Tweet of the Week winner in League Express this week.
I thought it was Mark Campbell.
Rugby League passport. What do you suggest Cas do for pre-game entertainment? Not much you can do when it's bucketed it down. I'm surprised they even let the dance groups on the pitch.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for the dance groups because they just got absolutely drowned. Community stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of clubs are doing, you know, they're still doing that quiz at half time where you've got to run around a post 10 times and try and not fall. Yeah, you have to be a little bit more innovative than that. You have to be
See, he's got the thing with a sponsor where you have to get a ball in a bin. And it's sponsored by the bin company.
Anything
that way you can get sponsored, that's good because you make money that way.
It's just that it looks a bit tired. And I think the sport's moved away from, here's three different ages of females dancing. There was a saxophonist that was playing, you know, which was fine, but again, you know, live bands. It just needs to be something more than it was 20 years ago. The music on the tannoy needs to be, you know, a little bit different for the entry of the teams and all that kind of stuff. It felt.
Wakefield's music till last year, I think, was still music from when they got into Super League. I don't think they promised to get a new CD when they moved in.
And there are a lot of community clubs that play rugby league in that area that would relish the chance of playing on the pitch at half time and all that kind of stuff. Look at what Wigan are doing at the moment. If anything, they're probably as good as anybody in involving their communities in various different initiatives. You just get the feeling at Cas, which is enhanced, I understand it, by the state of the stadium, that it's locked in a certain time warp.
You need ideas, people. And
it doesn't have to cost anything.
No, we're in this great opportunity where if something doesn't work, it doesn't work, and you can just move on and do something else, like the internet. So, I don't know. I don't have the ideas of what they can do, but speak to their sponsors, see how they want to get their name involved more. I don't know who sponsors them.
Involve your community foundation as well, because they'll be dealing with, you know, give LDRL and PDRL a chance to play on the picture. Anything that, you know, It is a little bit more than just repeating what you've already done. That was one of the things that Bradford found. You know, they had this fantastic idea of Bull Mania. They had loads of things going on in the stadium, but they didn't link enough with their community so that when it started to fade, there was nothing to drop back on. It is one of the strengths of the sport, particularly in an area like Castleford.
Ideas. If you've got any ideas, email Cas. Let us know, though.
We'd love to have
a giant Sabutio rugby game. Zorb Bowls, that's always good. Everyone likes Zorb Bowls.
Well, even heritage certificate presentations, all that kind of thing, involving your players' association in things.
They could interview members of their women's team if they remember they've still got one.
Well, they could make an appeal for people to play in them. I don't know. We're not here to solve Cassie's marketing issues. All I thought was it's a bit of a throwback.
It's only to merge Castleford, Featherstone and Wakefield's women's teams. That's the theory. Robert says, pointless season. Castleford not bothered. London not bothered. Both teams don't need to win. Complete another rubbish. End of rugby league. I've been saying that since 1895.
Yeah.
Or 1908 if you're in Australia.
I don't think you could. You can tell from London's performances at the moment that there's any lack of will and desire. I think they are in that transition period between being a championship team to playing in Super League. You cannot make mistakes in Super League and get away with them. I think the other thing when we come on to London is talking about their back three, but we'll wait until we get to them.
I wish they put these in chronological order rather than alphabetical order. That's why I always get lost and miss things out. Because after the Hull derby was the derby. Now, surely this week, Lee and Wigan, the Battle of the Borough, they should just call it a derby. It's not the derby, it's a derby.
You can't go from the derby to a derby.
The Battle of the Borough. Yeah, but one of them, it's not the Wigan and Lee Borough, is it? It's a Wigan Borough. Where's Springfield Borough? Where are they?
It's not the Simpsons.
Battle the other week. St Helens 12, Wigan 4. It was like watching State of Origin or something. Well, that was exciting and plenty happened and there was great noise and Saints have ripped off that thing Wigan do where the players come into the ground. But it's a good idea to rip off. So there's nothing wrong with taking good ideas.
Imitation
and doing
is the
them.
Greatest form of flattery.
Come stand next to the Kieran Cunningham statue and cheer our boys into the stadium. That's a good thing. That's a good idea. And the players go and slap hands and stuff and the kids are all happy. It's a great idea to steal.
It was a great game. Attritional. It was uncompromising. It was, you know, sometimes you look at games like, I'll use Leeds and St Helens as an example. Rarely are those games not anything other than open and quite exciting. Catalan Warrington was a great open game and you watched it thinking, I genuinely don't know how this is going to end. It's swinging for a... Wigan Saints starts from the premise of they're going to belt the hell out of each other. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there's such feeling around that derby that it does come through the television set. I think if you were watching that on, you know, your Good Friday afternoon and you were a fan of another sport, you would have stuck with that. Plenty of... I don't think it was controversy. I think, you know, Liam Byrne overstepped the line. We're going to find out when he meets the judiciary how many games he's got. It can be anything up to five, I think. I didn't find too many people saying wrong decision. On the back of having that extra man, Saints exploited it. One late on, which again, if you're a neutral, you want to see it go right down to the end. I thought Matt Peat was exceptional again in his interviews, not making excuses for the yellow card that preceded it or the red. It sets it up brilliantly for the next time they meet this season, whenever that'll be in whatever competition it'll be. A packed stadium with a great atmosphere is everything IMG want. And I thought it was great. I absolutely thought it was great. And Alex Walmsley was outstanding. Thought some of his charges were unbelievable. And Makinson's try, the timing of his leap, absolutely unbelievable. Just a lot to admire on both sides.
Catalan's Tommy Makinson. Whenever I'm assuming that's still happening, I don't know.
Loved it.
Tyler Dupree, would he have been sent off in week one?
Yeah, probably. That's where you need somebody who understands refereeing to sit there and go, what has changed? Something has...
People moan, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I did enjoy him walking off the pitch, shaking his head as if he hadn't done anything wrong with that. No, you have, Tyler, but, you know, it's all right.
But the sin binning was not what he got pinged for. That's not what he's fronting to the judiciary for. And again, appealing if it comes in, we'll pretend that we're at the cutting edge of news, which would clearly...
It's refreshing the RFL website. Do we have to compare everything to State of Origin?
No.
Because that is,
no.
That
no,
is where
don't
we...
do compare.
We put everything in, but...
You know. And this nonsensical debate, because you can never prove it, whether these teams would
How they do in the NRL.
Find their feet in the NRL, and how far that the competition is. Enjoy it for what it is. And it was great. It showed rugby league off, I think, in a great light. You can't fault the commitment of either team. Both brilliantly coached. Both have got a sprinkling of young players coming through that's going to keep this rivalry going at the highest level. And they are two teams that everybody else, two of three teams that everybody else has to aspire to.
We almost need to, not that you want them to be in every final or whatever, but it would be perfect if this was chronicled and then we get up to the final and then here's all the stories throughout the season. The disappointing thing, of course, with Wigan is, for all the Saints fans out there, is Matt Peatley so likeable. They dislike him because he's Wigan, but they can't, no. can't boo him or anything. And then he's stood next to Paul Wells the next day because they're mates at the Academy game. And everyone's like, I don't want to like him, but I like him. It's strange.
No, I thought it was great. It was everything that we like to promote. It's still a tough sport. Whatever the laws are now and have changed to this season maybe or are going to be next year, you could watch that every day of the week.
The best thing about Sky's coverage on Friday, apart from all the people we know on it.
She did all right.
She did all right. And Mark Wilson. He was all right.
He can do.
Leeds as Mark Wilson. I'll see him tomorrow. When I see him tomorrow, I need to mention the keep calling him, saying he's from Leeds on the Brian Bevan podcast. Was at half time in the whole derby. They go back to Knowsley Road and Brian Carney's there with John Wilkin and Sam Tompkins, wasn't it? And John Wilkin says, game's over. And Brian's like, no, come off the yes. second half. No, make sure you're watching.
Yeah.
Don't turn over. Yeah. Don't put the darts on or the snooker or whatever. Brilliant. Absolutely superb. Well done. Brian Carney's professional, you see. He wouldn't have all this trouble we've had today. James Child's been on. Dupree got charged for a head clash along with a number of other players like Sangare. So Leeds might not have any players this week. You might be playing.
There's only one. I mean, Sangare that accepted his punishment. Cameron Smith, they're challenging.
The two derbies look good on TV, and that's the only thing that counts, says Carsten.
I agree. I think that's product. How we sell this. You know, what IMG want is product that they can take to other markets and say, if you follow this sport, you'll get a bit of this. So the more Wigan and Saints we can get, the more atmospheric grounds like Hull KR we can get, the better our sport looks.
The new latest failed attempt at a spring American Football League started this weekend. And there was the thing that went viral, which I just saw it on the internet, so whether it went viral or not, I don't know, was fake punt, bloke who's supposed to punt it, throws it, big fella catches it, falls over the line. No one there in the stadium. Absolutely no one there. So we're doing okay. And we haven't got the Rocks money behind us. But they won't have either when that goes bust next year. So Saints top, Wigan fourth. In between them, the two sides who played on Saturday. That's serendipity, isn't it? As Warrington and Catalans, 11,000 there. Again, credit to Warrington for sticking cheap tickets on for the stand.
What do you do to make a different atmosphere, get more people in there? You have kids for a quid.
They didn't see
Easter Saturday.
They didn't see the home team win, but they certainly saw them have a go.
And they may well go back. And I think they'll have felt that they were part of something that represents their town as well. It may have been the first time they'd ever been there. You would think, because they were royally entertained, even though they didn't see their team win, that they would go back again. I think Warrington's marketing arm would be such that they've got all that information of who they are. They'll find other ways of getting them back. Well, if they join local clubs, come back and play on that pitch or whatever it might be. It'll hold a flag as the team's running.
Not quite as defensively minded, perhaps.
No, thing about it was Warrington were woeful at the beginning of each half.
What does Sam Burgess say to them?
Great, apart from that. But like 18-0 down early on, and then they get back into it by half-time, and then suddenly the 28-18 down at the beginning of the second half. I thought Catalan were fantastic. They had every reason to, with the players that they had out, to probably, think that was going to be maybe one game too far against the side who were in such great form, and everybody said, oh, this will be the first test of Warrington and they'll be really fired up. And the tactics that the Dragons had early on to go round the outside, brilliant. Jordan Abdul, as good an individual 80 minutes as I've seen this season. Clearly he's now finding his feet in his new environment, but and they were a couple of playmakers down. Michael McAloran back in the middle, holding it all together, and Abdul doing the, I've got this brilliant kicking game, but I can also pass a little bit. Fantastic.
If anyone's desperate for content this week, please don't write, why Sean Wayne should pick Michael McAloran for England afterwards.
Or Jordan Abdul.
Because we don't need him.
But they were great. They were really, really... And they're finishing... You know, you don't get too many opportunities. They took every single one that they got.
The Abdul thing is fascinating, isn't it? Because he leaves Hull KR right on the edge of the season for whatever reason, and there's been plenty of speculation about it. Goes to Catalans,
and he's
a
good goalkeeper.
Has to find his feet.
Okay, I know.
Has to find his feet at Catalans, but it's almost... It looks like he's been there for ages.
It says a lot for Steve McNamara, I think, and his coaching methods, who, again, is somebody that perhaps doesn't quite get the full credit that he deserves, because the story's already starting about, you know, next year Catalan, six players will be leaving, and he's going here and he's going there and he's off contract and it's going to be a total rebuild. But he's just signed another two-year deal because he's up for that kind of rebuild. And I thought Cesar Rouget was superb. Again, he's not been given a lot of game time. It's almost like he's being nurtured to the point where they feel they can use him, and he's been played in two or three different positions. But he's got that degree of confidence about him, and I think that's testament to Steve McNamara using him wisely. And then when he does get his chance, he was great. I thought the Dragons were... They've been a bit patchy so far this year, apart from that first game against Warrington where they did really well with 12 men in the second half. I think even by McNamara's admission, they haven't played a full 80 minutes, but that was pretty close to it with a weakened team. And Warrington, I don't think it'll have told Sam Burgess anything he didn't know, and it probably won't do him any harm to just say, you might not be quite the finished article yet, like you perhaps thought you were at this stage last year, and you know what happened. And I reckon that his guys will be in for a really intense week this week, and it'd be fascinating to see how they come back at Headingley on Friday.
And it was a great advert for Games in the Sunshine, because it looked great on the telly because the sun's out and
there's a propensity to move the ball. And I don't think, again, there could be any arguments about Paul Vaughan sin binning or anything like that.
I was surprised. Well, I'm going to say I was surprised he wasn't sent off, but I don't know what the rules are. So it's just my opinion of something I've seen on telly. It didn't look very good, did it? But anyway, Paul says Catalan and Hull KR play a similar style, which may have helped Abdul settle in quickly. He's a good player, isn't he? He's always been one of those players who everyone's talked about as being, he's going to be good, he's going to be good. And
I think he's one of those players that you have to give him responsibility. I think if you give him too structured a game plan to play by, he's not as effective. But if you say to him, we do need to be playing at that part of the field, or we do need you to get us to there, and you know, these couple of plays, we probably need the big guys taking the ball up and, you know, don't get involved until fourth or fifth or sixth play. But you're in charge. Then I think he relishes that. I think Chris Satay has been a wonderful signing for them, and we knew he would be good, but you don't know how long it's going to take somebody to fit into playing in a completely different culture. Again, you know, when he comes off the bench, he lifts the intensity, and exactly, you know, clearly what Hull are missing.
Hello to Netherlands and Sian, Sian, Sian. Tell me how we pronounce it. I've copied it up anyway, I apologise. Wonderful to be able to watch games here in the Netherlands. But where's it all going wrong for Hull FC? Well,
it's not an overnight thing.
No.
It's lack of spending the salary cap. It's that some of the juniors coming through are not to the standard that they need them to be at. And it's constantly over-promising what you can deliver. You can't keep saying, you know, this is the best squad we've ever built, and you need to keep buying season tickets, when the reality is slightly different from that. And the answer is, if it was a simple single solution, they would have found it, but it's not. It's a whole combination of things.
We should take a game to the Netherlands. Netherlands, is it the or not the? We should just take a game there. I've been. It's nice.
It's wonderful. So I have a familial connection with Holland. And I love it.
Went on a hockey tour.
I even like herring.
Went on a hockey tour in 98, Mr. Mockay level. Didn't care. Great fun. I realise now...
And the domestic competition will have an extra team this year. They will have six male teams. And they've just started playing Women's Rugby League. They're, you know, their international team is playing in a World Cup qualifier. So, yeah, It's so easy to get to. It's a culture that allies very closely with the north of England. Yes, I would happily take a game there.
Could Netherlands go higher up on our chart of where people download the podcast from? That's the big question. I need to look at that list again, because there's some random places where people listen to this nonsense from. But so, and if you do hear on other podcasts me promoting this, let us know, because I slip into radio voices like I'm speaking normally, and then I go, join us on the 4020 podcast. How do I sound like when I try to put on a voice? That was followed by Salford versus Lee, 32-22. By this point, I'm feeling a bit rugbyed out, so it's no disrespect for either team. Well, it was funny because I went into work on Sunday and ITV was on, and they were showing some other mob playing at the Salford whatever stadium. Bill Beaumont was there. Should have invited him the day before. Well, he might be banned. If he went to go see Salford, he might get banned from being the head of the other lot. But Salford 32, Lee 22. They bounced back from that heavy defeat in the cup. So there you go.
Nothing but admiration for Salford and the way they go about their work. I think they are they're such an enjoyable team to watch, because again, the principles they play by, which hole will if Tony Smith gets the players that can do it. Very similar in their approach, that, you know, what I want to do is you to feel comfortable in attack, but you've got to be able to defend mistakes, because the one thing that you are going to do if you attack all the time is you're going to make mistakes. And I just think, you know, Sneed said at the beginning of the programme, he's just in wonderful form at the moment in controlling his team. He's got people around him that can bring the best out of him, and I do think Ryan Briley again proved in his, was it 300th?
Something like that.
Game that, you know, how valuable the link between the two of them are. Nanny McDonald so far has been a fantastic buy for them. King Vuni Ayawa is playing the best he has whilst he's been over here. I think he adds real punch to them, as does Ben Nakubawai when he comes off the bench. And they've got a lot of people there that have got something to prove, and I think it sort of works in a team. So, you know, Cade Cust and Jake Shorts, it's like, nobody wants you. Ollie Partington, they didn't want you. Go and prove them wrong. And it's just the right environment for them to display what they're really good at. And Lee, we've talked about this year, you know, that their squad depth is being tested. Mm-hmm. Clearly, when you're going to lose three of your top line players, you know, Tom Mahoney has been brilliant again this year. He's, you know, John Asiata, we know all about. Get off his case. And Edwin Aipapa, you know, you lose those players out of your team, it's going to have a massive impact on you. But yeah, I think more importantly for Lee is their cup quarter final.
If only the Leopards had put out as verbose a statement on some of their other issues at the club, rather than having to go at the disciplinary. But there you go. They are what they are. Big game then on Thursday for them against Wigan. And
really big.
Phil is a Salford fan. I know this because he's got the Salford Red Devils devil thing. I don't know why I'm doing that. On his Twitter bio. And he says, King has sorted out his discipline, finally.
I just think he's making a he's not quite at Alex Wormsley's level, but you know that when he carries the ball, he's, I believe we have to call them post-contact meters are going to be really high. He's looking a fabulous addition to that squad at the moment.
Cian,
how's it spelled?
It's not S-I-I-A-N. It could be Sight. It could be two names, could all be initials. Their closest team, I'm assuming, I'll say their closest team is the Harderfike Dolphins.
Yep.
Probably pronounced Dolphins wrong if they're. I don't know if they're top of the Dutch.
They haven't started yet.
Well, on alphabetical order, they're probably not going to be, are they?
No, Amsterdam Cobras probably are. On alphabetical order.
Always there. We'll come and do the show from the Netherlands. If I had a passport, which I don't, but I've been there once. Went to Rotterdam, it was closed. But it was good.
Head of CNA.
Good fun.
Is it? He's in Amsterdam.
It was a great fun weekend.
Biggest port in Europe? Amsterdam? Europort?
Possibly.
I know all this rubbish. Yeah. I love Amsterdam. I could live there.
With all the bikes and
canals.
Van der Valk. murders. Zvola are the champs, says Les. Cheers, Les. He says he thinks.
Zvola Wolves.
Zvola Wolves. Wolves. I'd not seen the mosaic of the wolf in Leeds until someone tweeted it today. Why have the rhinos never used that as, when they're playing Warrington?
I don't know. I don't even know where it is. Where is it?
It's in a museum, apparently.
Oh, right. Okay.
I can't do art, so I'm not going to say anything, but I thought it was a horse at first. I thought they're going to use it against London Broncos, but no, it's a wolf. If you've not seen it, search Leeds Wolf and it will turn Leeds Wolf Mosaic and it will turn up. Putting us off talking about London versus Huddersfield. It's the last game of the weekend in Super League and it didn't feel like there was much jeopardy on it whatsoever. And as it turned out, there wasn't. The only amusing thing was Harvey Levett missing all his kicks, and then the admin at Huddersfield Giants Twitter had a go at him, but
there's a lack of ruthlessness about Huddersfield. That is a game that, a bit like Wigan, who were the last visitors to London, showed no mercy. The issue for London, I think, is that there clearly seems to be a tactic with all teams these days that your first three drives coming out of your own area are going to be taken by two wingers and possibly a centre or a fullback. And whilst there is no lack of effort or desire for the London trio to do that, they're just not big enough. So, you know, Lee Kershaw isn't big enough. Ilias McCarney isn't big enough. They don't make that yet. You know, they're not a Tommy Makinson or an Ash Handley who are making 200 metres a game, and a lot of that is backfield metres. Tom Johnson, brilliant at it, because they're over 6 foot, and they've got power, and when they take the ball up to a slightly retreating defence, they're making ground, they're putting you in the right part of the field. London were making on average about 20 to 25 metres every set of six, clearing their own line. You're going to be under so much pressure when you kick that you're not going to win games, but I can't fault their effort. And again, they haven't got a settled side. I thought Dean Parata was great in the middle of the field trying to get them going. But they will get better. And I think, you know, they'll get more loan players. They'll possibly even go into the market when the French season finishes again, like they did last year. They will take a couple of scalps, but at the moment they are still finding their feet in the division. I just thought Huddersfield, second half particularly, were just sloppy. Fortunately, nobody listens to us they can't take offence to that.
I was at work, so I had the game on in the studio in the background, so I wasn't paying attention to it. But there was a point where I thought, I'll turn my laptop off now.
They've got a lot of creative players, but it's almost like, even though we're playing London and even though we know we've got the measure of them, we'll still do our four or five drives and then we'll try and do it. And you're like, yeah, you can do more than that. This is your stage a little bit, but.
You get invited to the end of season awards thing, don't you? The plush do where everyone gets the Man of Steel and the Woman of Steel and the whatever.
I have been known to.
I think this year, and if anyone from the RFL is watching or listening, they should add a... Remember on Sports Personality of the Year brackets when it was good? Sports Review of the Year, they had the... Here's some comedy clips our backroom boys have put together, because women didn't work in TV in those days. We need an award for the worst dropout of the season. It was Mark Seed up until Ollie Leyland's effort. Sorry, Ollie. I'd forgotten until I saw your name in the paper.
Who's a lovely player and has got great potential.
It doesn't mean you're a bad
that
player.
That was awful.
We need short dropouts. Just stop.
Short dropouts when you're losing. I can understand you need to get the ball back. You need to, but like, you know. You're under pressure. You conceded three or four back-to-back sets. Try and get it as far down the field as you possibly can.
And here's the other article that people are writing at the moment. Are London the worst team in the history of Super League?
No.
Halifax 2002, I think.
Halifax were awful.
And that's, again...
Lee, was it 2000 and... Was it...
When they went up the first time.
Yeah.
So no, they're not. They're,
no, and,
they're
and
where,
again...
They're where you'd expect them to be at this point of the season. So.
And what they have is a coach that... is passionately believing in what they do and is backing their players and is giving them an opportunity. And I think they've got a ground and particularly a small but growing support base that appreciates exactly what they are and has no great expectation of what they should be.
It's all our,
but I don't think it's got anything to do with IMG. I think whether there was grading or not, London are where they are because of the squad that they've been able to recruit.
Our chat has been overtaken by talk of Netherlands, which I keep.
I could talk not there. All day about.
I'm not supposed to say that. It's only the Gambia and the Bahamas, I think.
And don't call it Holland, because that's only a region.
Exactly. Don't like that. Even though I've got a. Oh no, my Dutch hockey shirt says Nederland on. Les says they're missing Will Price, who can't get an NRL start.
He will.
Loves Volo, living in Amsterdam, but spends a lot of time there. Up the Blue Fingers. I mean, we don't. I don't know if that's some kind of weird Dutch thing. So I've said that now. Could be banned from Dutch iTunes. This Dutch-based fan, who I'm told by the off-site producer is called Seahen, but again, I could have got that wrong. He's from Fartown.
Oh, right. What, Fartown in
which doesn't exist
in Utrecht?
So he's listening. Sadly, I agree with Phil's analysis. Too complacent by half. There you go. Someone from Huddersfield does listen, but not in Huddersfield. Coming up later this month, and I may make a video about this because it gives me something to do. Trafford Borough's final ever game was against Batley at Fartown, and I've got the programme. So I may do a video on that.
Because you know Fartown's still there, don't you?
I'm thinking of thing, aren't I?
It's not been developed.
No, I'm thinking of Leeds Road, which is now a
training facility.
You can call England Yorkshire if you like, says Les. Well, I mean, you can, but it'd upset all our Lancashire-based listeners and Greater Merseyside and... No, Merseyside, Greater Manchester. Cumbria, London.
Mexico.
Northumberland, Mexico. North Korea, South Korea. Marilyn Monroe. Lee versus Wigan, Catalan, Salford, Hull, KR, London, Leeds, Warrington. Last of those three on Sunday, on the Friday all at the same time, I beg your pardon. Catalan Saints on Saturday at 8:15.
That is the game.
Hull Huddersfield at 3 on Saturday.
Catalan Saints will be fantastic. Really looking forward to that.
And what a warm-up there is on Saturday for that. The European Wheelchair Club Championship. Yep. Catalans versus Wigan in Wigan. 6 o'clock kick-off.
On the Sportsman.
On the Sportsman. So it's free for everyone to watch. I think Catalans are going to win, aren't they?
Well, I'm told by people that are involved in Wheelchair Rugby League that Catalan are in season.
Right.
And not in...
not like Greyhounds.
They're not, no. Yeah, no. They're not looking for another. No. And obviously are a settled team, a very good team, and are playing regularly. And this is Wigan's first game of the season. Wigan, I think, have played a couple of friendlies. Friendlies don't tell you a lot, other than the fact that I think they may have well been beaten, certainly in one of them. So they'll just be coming together against a team that are second nature. So, yeah, Catalan will be very strong favourites, especially having...
the French national team plus Seb Bashara.
Well, having won the Challenge Cup final in the manner that they did last year as well, I think we know how good they are.
Well, it'd be good to watch regardless. But
it'd be great to watch. And I think there's a Force tournament on, Wheelchair Force tournament on beforehand.
There's some kind of all-star thing as well, according to the advert today, but I don't know what that is.
So all right,
I don't know if that's going to be on anywhere, but something's happening. But watch the game, it'll be good.
It'll be great.
We will get some guests on before the season starts.
We will. One of them's lined up.
Are they?
Yes.
They're coming in?
Yes.
So I'll work on that when I start sending emails out to people again to say, you come on programme. But if you've not seen it before... Hang on. So the Leeds Rhinos...
Yes.
They're now the fastest team in wheelchair rugby. And they beat Hannah Cockroft last week. She's won all the Paralympics. She's got all the medals.
There was a sprint off at an inclusion day, of which Hannah Cockroft was one of the guests, because she was presented.
She's a dame yet? She should be a dame.
Yeah, she's in Halifax.
Yeah.
And three of the Leeds wheelchair team, Hannah, a Great Britain cyclist who was also there, had a sprint off along the length of the Leeds Beckett gym. Won easily by Nathan Collins.
Get him on the plane, get him to Paris.
Followed by Nathan Mulhall and Tom Halliwell of the Leeds Wheelchair Parish. Hannah, fourth, some way behind. Immediately issued a challenge to Nathan to have a repeat. I think it's this Thursday at the John Charles Sports Centre where Hannah trains. She wants to put him in one of her wheelchairs rather than she felt she'd been put in a lesser quality,
like the one I was saying when I had my go.
And she's going to let his tyres down. But yeah, if Nathan wins, he should be on the plane to Paris, shouldn't he, in the Olympics?
In fact, Leeds is the big rival, one of the big rivals, isn't it? So there's another aspect to that.
But it was great that she came over, and it was a lovely day.
Speaking of Hunslet, this story, which has got a bit of traction and probably will get more as time goes on, I can't believe the everything in life is luck and timing and everything. I've come to realise.
Serendipity.
In 1913, someone from Hunslet is in America.
A director in New York.
Not just some random person from Hunslet. And sees a game of American football. Sees the quarterback. And signs them to play rugby league.
Which he does.
And not only
I think
that,
he played 13 games, scored 5 tries. And
he's the first American. First black American.
First black player.
And yet, apart from Tony Collins, Professor Tony Collins, this is almost a story that no one's spoken about.
Well, I think it may well have been in a monthly magazine.
all the people who listen read it. So
but yes, Lucius Banks was his name. I think he was in the cavalry, as well as being an American football player. Came over here, I think the advent of the First World War, which saw him obviously go back home, and then he fought in it, I believe. But yes, he was spotted. Bought over, and his relatives were over at the stadium. I think I'm not sure if they were actually here for the Hunslet Keighley game or it was specially arranged. But certainly during this week, his grandson
or something, yeah,
who is also called Lucius Banks, came over, donned the Hunslet Myrtle and Flame scarf, and was presented with his heritage certificate. Which again, you know, going right back to what can clubs do at half time? A story like that, relatives like that on the field, being presented with something, you learn a little bit more about the history of your club and what it means to people and the role it's played in the community. All of that is fabulous stuff. It's a brilliant story. And full credit not just to Hunslet for facilitating it, but obviously Professor Collins for giving the background and the context to it as well, and filling in Lucius Banks III, I presume, with actually, you know, the background to his grandfather's career, and not just, oh yeah, I'd heard somewhere that he might have come over to this place called Leeds that I'd never heard of, and here I am now. Well, this is what he did, and why he's such a pioneering figure, and all that kind of thing. So yeah, absolutely brilliant, and it's what we're so good at. And a great game at South Leeds again with Keighley gaining the honours in the top of the table battle.
3 from 3 at the top of the League One, 42 points to 14.
Significant win for Keighley, I think.
Newcastle, 18-12 up at half time against Workington. Fell away in the second half, as you
but
probably would have expected.
Progressively building.
Looking for sponsors for the players, tweeted that earlier, so.
And they've got loan deals now in place with a couple of clubs. So you would hope, wouldn't you, that better times on the horizon for them.
North Wales beating Midlands 20 points to 14. And Oldham getting the bragging rights over Rochdale, as you would have expected, 54-6. Over 2,000 there. So that's a good crowd in the third tier.
I would imagine there was a great crowd at Dewsbury, but not given.
No, it's not given.
But a big result for them, Hammond, out of Batley.
Yeah, 24-4 in the Heavy Woolen Derby on Friday evening. Bradford beat Halifax 29-10. Doncaster-Sheffield, that sounded like a great game as well. 26-20 to Sheffield. 1,700 there again, so numbers
sport
growing.
Building in South Yorkshire, definitely.
Wakefield winning at Fev, 20 points to 12.
Listen to that, sounded a really good game.
Again, no crowd given, but you expect it would be a decent crowd there.
Sounded good.
Whitehaven 23, Barrow 22.
And
dearie me.
Loads of people predicted Whitehaven would struggle this year. You know, the issues that they had just on the eve of the start of the season about paying players. Was it 2 out of 2? Joint top of the league?
Top of the league. Widnes 28, Swinton 10. Strange pictures from the stadium where everyone's over to one side. I don't know what's going on there. And again, 2,700 there. And at York, Toulouse, what's going on there? Red cards are plenty and stuff.
Only for Toulouse.
The blooming French to come over here and get sent off.
Yeah, Harrison Hansen, that well-known Frenchman. Harrison.
Hansen.
And he, And I think, again, Toulouse built up a big lead. York whittled it back, but not quite enough. York yet to get off the mark. Interesting. It's a great division.
Hoping to go there in a couple of weeks. Paul says, I have the Hunslet York program for Banks' first game for Hunslet. I think he scored 2 tries in that game.
Yeah, I think, did he score something like 5 in his first 5 games or something like that? And he was deemed, I mean, I've seen some of the contemporary newspaper reports, he was deemed to be an absolute, this is a superstar.
I don't know how, really was a quarterback, so I don't know how a quarterback would fit into, and especially, I'm trying to think about it from modernising, rugby league in 1913
Again, if Paul's got the programme, he'll be able to tell you, but I think he played on the wing.
That's why you stick out.
Because he was really powerful and quick. But then you also, in those days, positions weren't quite as, you were either a forward or a back.
Yeah. It's much more coaches don't just mess around with things and just try different. I don't. It's not like football where you can try things, but trick plays or something. Yeah, York.
Special teams.
Yeah, York 0-2.
Again, we don't read anything into a league table where there's only been 2 games, but I do think that Whitehaven are deserving of credit because I just thought they might have been cut adrift with all the issues that they had to face before we'd even kicked a ball, and that's 2 really big wins. It's in such a tight division. If you can get a couple of wins on the board now, you just don't know, do you? At the end of the season, they could be the difference between automatic relegation, playing in a playoff to, you know, a top 8 playoff or whatever we're going to do it this year, or super duper 8s.
Bit concerning that Wakefield's plumbing's not sorted, so the next 2 home
games.
Yeah,
what's gone wrong? I've not seen the story. What has gone wrong?
Well, fans were complaining, I think, after one of the games there was no hot water or something halfway through. So that was just, there's an issue with the plumbing. But unfortunately, the owner's he sells kitchens, doesn't he? Rather,
well, you'd think he knows a plumber or two, then, if he sells kitchens.
So hopefully things get sorted at the DIY kitchen stadium, which I think is now.
Question
called.
For Castleford fans.
Yeah?
Menderhose. Are they no longer sponsoring? Because
oh, it's called the Jungle now?
Well, on the outside of the ground, where it had MAH, it was blanked out.
Oh.
And it used to be on the top of the main stand, and then it became a different sponsor. But I just wonder whether Menderhose are no longer... I mean, it's not one of the great...
Is that why you were about to... When I said it earlier, you looked at me. Well, it's still called it in here, but...
It's not one of the... Well, I don't know. It may still be, but it was funny that driving down Weldon Road, the signs on the main stand had blacked out the MAH bit, so... Unless it's being repainted, I don't know. It's hardly one of the big news stories.
Well, in a week where there's been no news, I mean, that appears to me... The news this week is Cornwall didn't play. Fixtures in the Championship this week: Toulouse, Swinton on Saturday. Now, so this is where the Premier Sports deal to retake over Viaplay, or whatever you want to call it, that's going through in the next few days, and their channels will be back next week.
But we're not now going to have a billing on it because the clubs voted against it.
If I were, I said before, I'd go it on my own. So you want to write about it in the magazine, but certainly. On the way in, I think, I don't know how many people paid for York and Toulouse at the weekend. But surely someone's got to think, right, if we... Because with the best team in the world, people aren't on a whim going to go to Toulouse to see their team play away. If you're charging them a tenner to watch a stream Toulouse...
But even if you were, you know... If the choice is you can pay a tenner or you can go to Toulouse and you've got the wherewithal to go to Toulouse,
you go to
Toulouse.
Yeah.
It gives Toulouse fans a chance maybe to watch over here... Fans from over here to watch over there if they're not going. Yes, all of their games should be streamed.
Don't ask me if we've got any numbers for the stream, because I've not asked, but I don't think they tell us anyway. Yes, Banks playing on the wing, says Paul. I'm afraid some of the newspapers were somewhat racist at the time.
They were.
With their comments, so at least these days things are better in that respect. Well, not all the newspapers, but...
Yeah. Also true.
Yeah.
Good job he wasn't called Megan Banks.
Toulouse Olympique versus Swinton Lions. That's Saturday. Full slate on Sunday then, pretty much. 6 games. Barrow York, Dewsbury Widnes, Doncaster Wakefield, Featherstone Bradford, Halifax Batley and Whitehaven versus Sheffield. Sunday in League One, Hunslet Oldham, North Wales Newcastle and Workington versus Rochdale. And it's the return of the Women's Challenge Cup because they got Easter off.
They did.
Have a week off. York versus Featherstone, that's on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
You think that may be a little one-sided?
Well, it's being played at York St John's because York City's women's football team are playing at the LNER. I'm not saying that my meagre amount of free bet that I had on the Women's Rugby League this week and the shifted the lines, but York were minus 44 on Sunday morning, and when I put my thing on, they've gone to minus 46, so they're watching.
You're responsible for that 2 points.
Well, I've changed all of them, unfortunately, that I've had a go on, because I wasn't going to tell you else I've bet, but yeah, York minus 44, minus 46. With how they both respectively played against Sheffield, the lines there. Hull Cow versus Lee. That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Well, again, two teams who are not going to qualify for the quarterfinals and have taken a couple of heavy beatings. So, you know, be interesting to see how they perform against each other.
Leeds Huddersfield for a place in the next round.
Well, they're both in it, aren't they? Yeah. It's just who tops the group.
You want to top the group, though, don't you?
Cause yeah, because you theoretically get a draw again. I don't know how the draw works, but theoretically you would think the teams that finish first will play the teams that finish second.
We might be able to talk about the draw in a minute. London versus Bradford. I've backed London there.
Yeah.
Because they're not quite a Super League team, in the same way that Cardiff aren't quite a Super League team, but they're probably better than some of the teams, and they're maybe better than some of the teams at the moment. They're better than Bradford. Simple as that. If Bradford raise a team this week. Salford versus Barrow. Both teams who haven't won so far, so again, they're both out, but you'd expect Barrow to win that one.
Barrow need a win going into their Super League season.
Especially with the way they pushed Wigan close. Warrington St Helens.
Once again, to see who finishes top of that group.
Johnny Cunningham and Emily Ridge Derby.
Yeah, I think you can't look past Saints.
That's all the handicap. And they had the week off, didn't they? Because they didn't play Bradford. So they've had 2 weeks without the game. And Wigan Cardiff, that could be a great game. Because again, you'd expect Wigan to win, but Cardiff, we know they're a good side. The more I think about these things, the more I think Cardiff in Women's Rugby League are a massive opportunity for us as a sport to get a foothold in an area which in other rugby based sports might be a bit shaky. And we're just a tiny thing.
I think you've hit on a really important point there, that there is an actual synergy between rugby league and particularly the people of South Wales. But for boot money, there is a very good chance that it would have turned to Northern Union. I mean, there was in, I think, 1908, five teams playing. And you know, Glamorgan used to play in the county championship. There's always been a tradition of we need to properly establish rugby league in Wales because they would take to it. So from two points of view at the moment, one is rugby unions is in complete disarray, which we take absolutely no joy in saying. It's just the fact that all of the regions are suffering financially. The national team is probably its lowest ebb. Finished bottom of the Six Nations, didn't win a game, but we can't get a men's team to work in the Principality. Are you allowed to call it Principality?
I'm not sure.
I don't think you can.
No, because they don't like the fella.
No. In Wales. Yeah. So if we can't do it with a sustainable men's team, Celtic Crusaders was as close as we got. Clearly South Wales didn't start last season. Why not do it with the women's team? You're going to have access to all of the best women's players.
Cost a lot less to do.
Yeah, and you could raise the profile relatively quickly. Yeah. It's a low-hanging fruit. Stick them in Super League, get them playing Wigan, St Helens, Leeds, Warrington, down in Cardiff. Get a following.
Could be a thing.
Get it on S4C.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm always getting tweets from Scrum V about stuff going on in Wales.
If you can't, you know, forget, and we've said this before, it doesn't have to be the way that we've always done it with the Mel. If we can do it with women and wheelchair, so wheelchair have just come back from a successful tour of the USA. They're ranked, I think, is it third in the world? Well, you know, the men's rugby union team and certainly the men's rugby league team aren't ranked third in the world and won't be for the foreseeable future. So strike while that particular iron is hot.
I don't want to say we're starting from nothing, because we're not, because obviously a lot of work has been done out there. But we're starting with a base where We can build.
Well, I also think, there is a crossover of talent, particularly in the women's game, because they're both relatively new. I think if you put a high-profile women's Super League team in Cardiff, you'd get a lot of very good rugby union players knocking on the door saying, we'd like a little bit of this, please.
NRLW?
I don't think Cardiff should play in the NRL, do we?
Well, New Zealand are in it. They're foreign to Australia.
So New Zealand and Canterbury, which you could have read in the previous issue of 40-20, before the news broke. Not that we break news. Mm-hmm. But
not Melbourne or someone.
No. But all of the teams that aren't in it yet, like Melbourne and South Sydney, all issued statements saying it's on our plan.
Dolphins top.
Dolphins top. Dolphins. How good's that? You know, again, a new team in their second season. Don't read too much into a table where they've only played a handful of games, but Dolphins time.
Dolphins versus Warrington World Club Challenge coming up in Vegas.
Wayne Bennett against Sam Burgess.
I think that's everything, isn't it? You know, I read a lot of negativity, and there's obviously a lot of things to be negative about. That's fine, but
if you want, generally, if you want to see the world that way,
generally, you know, look at the weekend. You know, London Huddersfield. Now everything's televised. It is the problem that everything's televised, but you don't have to watch everything. And if you went into Sunday thinking, I watched all these other games.
The crowd?
I don't really want to watch London versus Huddersfield. No one there.
Attendance not given.
Then I don't have to watch it because I can do something else. But it was a game of rugby. It was on telly.
I think we said at the very beginning of the season when we talked about all the games being televised, what's that going to, back to the 1950s, it's going to affect the crowd figures. The fact is, the more you see of something, the more you get a narrative about it and get involved with it and start thinking about, oh, I enjoyed that, but who do they play next week? Oh, I can see that. Or I really missed out on that atmosphere. Who are they playing next? Can I get there? Kind of thing. So, yeah, I think there is a... It's not something that's going to change overnight, but there is light in our tunnel.
Letters complained. He says, let us see some championship games on TV. I
think they're going to have to stream them. If you want to see them, you'll have the opportunity. You'll probably see the odd game on the Sportsman. I don't know what's happened to our league, but I think if you're a championship club and you're not going to get what might be termed a conventional TV deal, stream it, because there is some demand out there.
Paul says, the problem with getting a successful team in Wales is the same as ever, money. Now, this is women's. We don't need to throw millions at it. If we threw millions at it, they'll win.
Yeah.
They'll win the Women's Super League.
That's the thing. If it's got a Cardiff identity and it's a genuine team of Wales, and you could even take a couple of games to other places in Wales, but you could attract the kind of clubs that people have heard of. Now, you could dedicate a game to Billy Boston between Cardiff and Wigan in the women. Whatever you want to do, there's a massive potential there for very little cost.
Let's say, are they allowed, which I assume is streaming? I don't see any reason why they can't when there's no deal in place.
Yeah.
When proper
well,
sport
how,
did
how,
the Bulls...
How have York and Toulouse managed to stream their game?
When we did the Bulls, I wasn't involved in the discussions, but I just assumed there was some chat between Bradford and proper sport, and that's how the deal came about.
Yeah.
It can be done.
I think it needs to be done to a standard as well.
Yes.
I think you've got to get away from, it's our club.
The internet that works, yeah.
That'd be nice. But, it's sufficiently good for, to pick an example, Bulls TV. If you're going to stream it and charge for it and maybe then sell it on to a company at a later date, then it has to be decent quality.
Ian Boldsworth, should be counting our blessings every day that all Super League is on TV. It's massive.
I agree. I just think it feels bigger this year because it's on. You look at, an example last night, I happened to be flicking between the channels because University Challenge had finished, clearly, and went on to Sky to watch a certain football team associated with the city that we happened to be sitting in.
Leeds City.
And we all know what happened to them. And Sky were promoting their big weekend, which was, I think, four different sports. The first one, Catalan St Helens.
If you look at
every... It wouldn't have been that last year.
Every golf tournament's on TV. Every tennis tournament is on TV.
When we're put alongside Formula One that's on this weekend, the whatever Premiership football game they picked out, the golf or tennis they were talking about, and the fourth one is Catalan St Helens. It's like in that must-watch box. We're doing something right.
I'd happily pay Fev, says Les. Well, get in touch with them and say, why aren't you streaming your games? Everyone should be saying
they
to their
clubs
they
need all the money they can get at the moment.
Everyone should be saying to their club, why aren't you doing this? I want to pay you money for this. Why aren't you doing this? And then they'll have to say, well, why aren't we doing this? That should be the question they ask, because if people are willing to pay for people to watch their games, then why aren't they doing it?
It would be foolish not to look at that as an avenue of expenditure. Clearly, most of the people who live in or around Feb will still go to the game, but there's plenty of exiles who would pay to watch. And the other thing is, I listened to Featherstone and Wakefield, sounded a great game. If I then got the opportunity to see that game, to pay a fiver or 8 quid or whatever, you would certainly think about it.
Why is Jonathan Deutsch wrong me? That's a good question. It looks we just agreed to split the games over a weekend and not have three games at the same time. Well, that would be good, Carsten. But
well, I think that will happen more next year. I think they're seeing now that all of that was agreed at a very late stage, and how the BBC were going to have games as well. And I think now you need to be sitting down in advance of next season. We need to decide, of course, what we're doing with loop fixtures and all that kind of thing, and just say one of the things we need to do is, I know certain teams have got to play certain times. They will have their own reasons to have to play on a Friday night. But, Leeds, who are traditionally a Friday night team, they've got, I think, four games on a Saturday this year. They've got one game on a Sunday. Like, you can, with sufficient notice, still appease your fan base. Perhaps even appeal to a slightly different one if you don't play at the same time. And also not have games on at the same time as everybody else.
And got to reimagine the Challenge Cup as well. That's next year as well.
Well, I think you might find something about that in the next magazine.
Next, not this week. Next week.
Yes.
Has everyone written their columns?
Not everyone, but you were earlier than normal. In fact, you beat Mr. Child this week.
I mean, it's a shame because now I could have written about John Wilkin being told off by Brian Carney, but I've taken the celebrity chase because Mark Chapman was on it. He presents Rugby League.
And
Ryan Seibold, who I used to see pretty much every Monday in Buzz in Wakefield, which was student night.
Big Bradford fan, isn't he?
With Leon Price and the Paul brothers. So, that's the Rugby League connection, I think. That's it, we're done. As Carson says, optimists are just really badly informed pessimists. And as the great Sophie Ellis Bextor said, look at that, serendipity again. A pessimist is never disappointed. Adios. She did. It's on one of her songs. Sports Social Podcast Network.